the other day I was training her to drop the ball in my hand in order to receive a piece of cheese.
Oh, sure.
So I would pay her when she brought it back, and I wouldn't pay her. Yes, I wouldn't pay her.
Some bad habits.
What?
So you're going to teach her she can't give you, she won't give you stuff unless she gets cheese out of it?
This is just for fetch. Oh, okay. She'll do it without cheese, but like, okay. If she wants me to throw the ball, she has to bring the ball and put it in my hand. If she drops it, but not in my hand, she didn't get the cheese. So she figured out real quick to put the ball in the hand to get the cheese.
Sure.
And then we successfully played fetch in the yard a couple times, and she just runs around like a wild man. It's very cute.
I haven't seen a lot of wild men run around. I'm not sure what that.
You've never been to Pride?
Good one.
Woo! With that, everybody, welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
Today, we are discussing plants for the advanced plant parent.
Expert plants, if you will.
Yeah, depending on how confident you feel in your abilities.
Yeah, so these aren't necessarily plants that you have to be. I guess, where do we start, right?
First of all, what do we consider an advanced level plant?
I was kind of tolling that over in my brain as I was driving here between, like, I would say plants that you not only probably have to have a grow light / tent set up, and or not necessarily both, but and or for sure, but also plants that you need to be able to spy what's wrong with them visually. So, like, a great example is Begonia brevimosa. And I still struggle with this. Kaylin and Adam, former co-hosts, were really good at being able to look at it and being like, that needs water. I still struggle at that.
Well, with begonias?
Yeah. Mm. So you have to be, I'd say plants that give more visual cues versus, does that make sense? Maybe.
I guess it depends on the plant, yeah.
So kind of tying into like how much work you have to put in to keep it going steadily.
Yep. And I guess in a point... in the same breath, expert plants also equate to finicky plants, maybe?
What people would consider finicky because they find them hard to grow.
Because they either need to change the environment or supplement something somewhere.
Right. And they'd have to know how to do said things based off of potentially visual cues. But sometimes these plants give you no visual cues and then they're just dead.
Oh, have you guys had any plants just drop dead?
My Inferalis alocasia.
I guess I had the fry deck almost die, but that was because it dried out, so I knew what happened.
Didn't your dragon's breath just rot?
Oh, you're right. I don't understand what happened.
Yeah.
That was a weird one. It just, like, I had a dragon's breath alocasia from Bailey. It was doing great, putting out huge leaves, awesome plant. And then it's almost like water sat in its petioles where they met the stem. Mm, and then just they all rotted and, like... the whole thing just went squishy for no reason, like all at once. It was weird.
Yeah. Mine's kind of the other way where it got too big and it had dried out too much. But even though it had dried out too much just once, it's not coming back for me. So that's definitely, I would consider on the list of upper echelon of intermediate into advanced expert level plants.
Mm-hmm. One thing. So like on the brevimosa, like it's tricky. And same with alocasia. They're tricky until you figure them out. But once you figure out what they like and you give them to them every time, they actually end up being what I say easy.
And maybe that's part of the quote unquote criteria of being an expert grower is consistency. Once you're able to be consistent.
Well, and even like knowing specifically like this is my plant. This is the light it grows best in. And this is how I water it, and these are the results I get. And you look at it and you're like, damn, that's a nice plant.
Yeah.
So like, you know, people say Tycon is a hard plant.
Right.
I fucking disagree.
Same. I also disagree.
You guys are all doing it wrong. You're not giving it enough light and you're letting it dry out too much is my opinion on what they're doing wrong. Obviously without seeing it, and evaluating it. I don't actually know for sure, but
what you can do if you're interested in that particular topic in drama, look up a Pretty in Green and Tech Plant on YouTube. They've been going back and forth about the Tycon and the issues with it.
Being easy or hard?
Yeah.
Or if it's actually a genetic thing?
Well, the dude at Tech Plant's like, yeah, y'all aren't giving enough light. And the Pretty in Green dude's like, no, they're just more susceptible to root rot. But the Pretty in Green's also a store owner, I think. So like,
I can imagine
that he's got a lot of plants he's taking care of and maybe not giving them the care they need.
Yeah. And that's, I guess part of a disclaimer too, right? Like you can be really good, dare I say, an expert at one type of plant, but that does not mean you're an expert at all plants.
Yeah.
Correct. You know? And like me, I would not consider myself an overall plant. Like on average, sure, I'm a plant expert, but like I have a total of 2 anthurium that I'm not 100% confident on. So like just that one alone, I'm like, I'm not an expert. And Mackie grows a whole bunch of shit I don't grow. Right. So like, I don't know how to, like, I could probably grow it if I tried to figure it out, you know, but like.
Yeah. And so as we're talking about this, these are our own lists, I guess, stuff that we consider.
See, I've never really like.
Usually it's stuff we've grown.
And for me, it's anthurium because I've tried it on 4 separate occasions now and I just cannot get
I feel I've never really like judged plants on like not experience level, but like the beginner, intermediate, advanced, because when I was first getting into plants, I jumped right into orchids and everyone was like, no, those are like advanced. And it's like, they were really easy for me to take care of. And then I kind of realized it's just things that need a certain level of consistency and care is kind of how I've started to judge it. If they need really consistent, like weekly care, that's advanced to me, and I'm not likely to want to put that work in, but I know if I wanted to do it, I could.
Right. And that, yeah. So I guess had we done, or when we do a beginner level, we're going to say plants like pothos and ZZ and stuff like that, because they can tolerate
in different conditions. They don't need consistency.
Whereas your anthuriums, your orchids, your calatheas, like if you look at them weird one day, they're going to be like, you didn't give me water and die.
I mean, even within those groups, there are levels. Yes. So
yeah, there's so easy calatheas and there's hard calatheas. Yeah. We should just start going through genus and list off all the hard ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So calathea.
Yeah, let's start with calathea. Medallion Roseopicta 2, version 2. Oh. I found that one to be pretty easy, pretty forgiving. It definitely still has expert moments. Though. Oh, oops.
Okay.
Harder calatheas. Ornata was pretty challenging.
Tiger fusion. White fusion.
White fusion.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
That
tiger
one.
Fusion. Or where the hell did tiger fusion come from? I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
Old name, I think.
Okay. Yeah. The calathea white fusion.
The one that had so much failure rate that they had to make the yellow fusion.
Mm. I loved my white fusion. I did great with it. Didn't let it dry out. Gave it lots of light. So I had lots of white on my leaves. Beautiful plant. Really thin leaves. Yeah. So like they don't hold a lot of moisture. If they dry out, you're fucked.
Yeah, you need humidity for that one.
And
for
like multiple times I did let it get a little too dry and the leaves just crisp up. Uh-huh. And then you just have to sit and regrow them.
Yeah, I grew a white fusion, but I had it on a wick and that simplified the care greatly. I think I had mine about 8 months and then I ended up composting it because of the amount of spider mites it was getting.
Yes, that was a big one for me.
It was always a struggle to fight off the spider mites.
I'm curious.
I would always check those plants for spider mites. And same thing with my alocasia. And it's really funny now. I used to check the alocasia all the time for spider mites. And now I've got their care down just so well pat that if I know they're not drawing out all the way, I'm not actually concerned that they have spider mites. But also in the event that something does happen, I do get the preventative sachets of Californicus, beneficial bugs, to just eat anybody who's hanging around. And I have not had, knock on wood, a major spider mite outbreak in at least a year and a half, which I am so thankful for.
Yeah, I need to get on that.
It's so worth the money to not have to worry about my whole collection needing to be treated for spider mites with the size of my shit.
Sure.
Oof. Yeah, this thing would take like a bottle and a half of Captain Jack's.
Not interested.
At $18 a pop? No way. I was about to say I've never seen a large white fusion, but I just found one on Reddit and it is impressive. Very, nice. Very impressive.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think the other thing that would affect like the experience level of these plants is also like your location and your climate.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know some people who grow like crazy cacti and succulents that I can't grow because it's just not the appropriate environment up here, and the amount of work I would have to put in is crazy. But then there are people down in Arizona who throw it in the ground and forget about it. And then like 10 years later, they've got this monster of a plant and it's just like, damn.
It was just hanging out in their yard.
Yeah. And the other thing that you brought up was being able to see problems before they become problems. Mm-hmm. That I think will also kind of vary person to person. Cause like, it's probably really easy for like you, me and Kaylin being ADHD. We have pattern recognition that's probably off the charts. But like for the more
undiagnosed, by the way,
speaking of pattern recognition, the one ADHD test they had me do where it was a card game with no rules, but you had to figure out the rules as they went. Or no, there were rules, but they didn't tell you what the rules were and you had to figure out the rules. And then the rules changed. I was insanely good at that game.
Mm-hmm. That's how they figured out I had ADHD.
That just sounds like a fun game.
It was. Because it was four cards and they had
pattern recognition.
They'd either have one, two, three, or four symbols on it. Mm-hmm. And the symbols were one of four colors mm-hmm. and they were one of four shapes. And so you would have to stack the new card on top of whichever card fit the bill of the time. So it was like, oh, you stack it based on quantity. So mm-hmm. there'd, three, put it on the three pile, four, mm-hmm. put it on the four pile. Or then it would change to like color. So you'd match red with red. And then it would change to shape. So match heart with heart. I picked up on that so fucking quick. And then my brain just knew like it was one of these patterns. So if, I would run through the list once the rules changed mm-hmm. and I stopped getting answers correct, I would just run through the possibilities, figure out the new rule and then move on. Yeah. I was so good at that. It was so fun.
Yeah, it's definitely nice being able to like spot something a mile away. Like I say, when people say, what's wrong with my plan? And I can see the spider mites in a bad blurry picture on Facebook. I'm like, you have spider mites. But at the same time, all I do is hyperfixate on flaws on my plants then. And I'm like, it's an imperfect plant because it's got one little like brown spot.
I feel that too. Yeah. And then you're just like, I want to cut this thing up. Like yeah, it's not ripped worth off money. A leaf yeah. of my ring of fire and the whole thing. I'm like, I want to throw it away and start over.
Yep. And that's some OCD crap right there.
Yeah. And I have OCD, everybody.
I don't. I see an imperfect plant. I'm like, hey, it'll grow past that eventually.
Yeah.
On an alocasia, I'm fine because I know the leaves turn around so quick. But like, that albo top cut I have, the one leaf was unfurling when I cut it. And so the leaf kind of came out fucked up and it drives me nuts. So I'm like, I'm going to grow one more leaf, take a top cut, get rid of the top cut. That lower leaf will fall off for somebody. And then I'll just regrow it from the bottom. Hopefully it'll put out two growth points and then I'll just have that plant be mine. Because that one leaf bugs me. spotting things a mile away, I really love with alocasia. Like if someone's like, it's not growing, it doesn't have spider mites. And I'm like, give it 2 days.
Yeah.
I think I did that with you because you're like, I don't know what's wrong with it. I was like, it's got spider mites. Just wait. And then you were like, it does have spider mites.
Yeah, that's what it was like.
They magically showed up overnight. They'll do that.
Yeah, that's what it was like at the greenhouse I used to work at. Like I'd walk into a room and like across the greenhouse, I'd be like, there's thrips over there. And the growers would be like, no, there aren't. I'm like, go look. Yeah. And we'd go over and look like, holy crap. How'd you even notice this? Like thrip damage is like modeling. Sticks out to me.
Yep. So expert label Calatheas. We did white fusion. Oh my God, I just had it in my brain. The beauty star? Nope, not the beauty star. The beauty star is kind of easy. It's the white star. Alocasia, that's hard. Not alocasia. Oh my God, Calathea.
That white was, star?
Is that the one?
Hang was on. That the one that you, was like a $60 plant when you got it?
Mm-hmm.
See, the last new Calathea or Copertia introduction I was aware of was the white fusion, and I stopped at that point because I was like, Calathea suck.
Yeah.
I got sick of having to restart them all the time. And so I just, for my own sanity, I got them looking nice and then I sold them and they became someone else's problem.
I say the White Star's expert level, but I think I wasn't set up for success because I bought it and brought it home and literally 2 days later it had spider mites.
Rough.
So it definitely had them in the greenhouse mm-hmm. that I got it from. Any other Calatheas? I mean, that's the thing. Like Calatheas really aren't that hard.
No, they just need that consistent moisture, and so like a lot of people that is advanced because yeah. well, they and just then, like, don't like to do that.
If they don't give it consistent moisture, the leaves crisp up. People might think it's dead and throw it out, when in reality you can keep growing that.
Yeah, like Rex begonias. Yeah, like when Rex begonias go dormant in winter in the dry seasons.
Yeah,
people throw them out because they think they're dead.
Cam, yeah. Do you consider Musaica expert level?
So
When
I had Musaica, I wasn't giving enough light, and so it just kind of died a slow death, so I haven't tried it again.
Sure.
Because I've always consistently had too many plants to try that one again. Sure. If you gave me a cutting of yours...
That I don't have anymore.
Oh, you got rid of it?
Yeah.
Oh. I can get you a cutting.
I could probably do it now. Sure. I could probably do it now. I don't have room or space for it.
Yeah.
But that was a hard one for me, but I was just starting out. It was within my, like, first year and a half of plant parenthood.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Moving on, let's do begonias.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's do begonias.
Milana bullata.
I've heard that one. Is the ferox also?
Ferox is also hard.
Brandnermosa.
Without the humidity, they don't develop their spikes, I think.
Do you know how much humidity? Are they in like the 70, 80, 60% range?
I just know most people grow them under cloches, terrariums, and boxes.
Yeah, the Brevimosa is another one, too. If you don't give it humidity, it'll look like shit. You give it humidity and plenty of light, it grows like a weed.
So then is it an expert level plant?
Well, if you figure it out.
I mean, if you get buy yourself a plant in a grow tent. That doesn't make you an expert. We've seen that many times on Facebook.
I would consider that one an expert just because it kind of goes against the begonia wisdom.
Yeah.
More light usually is not what you want to do to a begonia.
Should we factor in, oh my God, brain, propagation?
I was going to just bring that up too. That was a fucking hard one to figure out how to propagate.
Yeah.
Because I tried and essentially what it comes down to is if you're going to propagate it, you have to keep it in humidity. You can't take it out of the tent. You're going to cut it and you're going to put it in water in the tent and you're not going to leave it.
Sure.
This is Brevin Rosa.
Yeah. Did you have success outside of a tent?
I had success at room thing, just sticking cuttings in dirt. No bag, no added humidity.
You are so ballsy.
Yeah. Well, for me, none of that worked.
I was going
to
say.
And maybe it was because I wanted to water root them in my kitchen window. I didn't go straight to dirt. Hmm.
See, I like to cut out as many of the middle steps as possible because I'm lazy as fuck.
I know. Surprised that worked for you, but I'm glad it did. And I could totally give that a try now.
If we're going to have propagation as one of the considerations, we need to go back and put clathias on most clathias on the list.
You can split them.
Don't touch the roots.
It'll make them unhappy.
But if you can successfully bring them back from being unhappy from that.
Now, I didn't split a stramantha correctly. Actually, I don't know if that second one lived.
And that's not
I did split my white fusion for a trade once, and mine lived. But whoever I traded, who knows what happened.
Right.
What was I going to say? Begonia, propagation, splitting. My stramantha. I split my trio star into nine different pieces.
Yeah.
All the one, because I made sure to acclimate them before I sent them out into the world. They all lived. Mm-hmm. Even the one that got all crispy leaves and died back, came back from the dead.
That is a different genus, though.
I know. It's not quite as hard as Calathea.
Yeah. But I was going to say, if we're going to talk Maranta, all Maranta are easy.
Yeah. We, Christine and I tried to do Calathea and Leca, but they did not
go well.
Those fine roots, I don't think they'd like that.
We tried rooting.
Was it an unrooted piece? I gave you a cutting.
It had the tiniest little root on it.
So you would think we could water root it, start it in Leca and just go straight to it. But
yeah.
Christine couldn't get it. I've never bothered trying.
I'd be willing to try again, but.
I think the begonias would be more, they like the smaller Leca rather than the standard size, if anything, just because they're going to need smaller particles to hold on to.
And they have those tiny, tiny fine roots.
Ooh, so maybe we should try Fluval.
Fluval would work. Oh. The other thing I was going to suggest is Pawn.
Yeah.
We could try that too. I got a bunch of Pawn. Christine, you want to try a passive hydro? Fine.
I hate Pawn.
I just was going to say passive hydro begonia again.
Sure.
I got rid of all my Pawn. I mixed it in succulent soil.
You're funny. Begonia Rex are also challenging because they do better in high humidity. I have a pink one that I've grown it in regular household humidity, but it grows so much better when it gets added humidity.
Yeah.
I could probably do it outside just fine too, but some of those are pain in the ass.
Sure.
Any other? Oh, Amphioxus is a fun one.
That's another real thin leaf one, right?
Kind of. It grows amazing in the cabinet. It grows like a weed. It's a cute weed. I love the little jaggedy leaves. Mine never looked good when it wasn't in the cabinet.
Sure.
But now it's in the cabinet, it pretty much always looks good. And if it looks kind of crappy, it'll look good in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lovely cycle. That's fun.
Yeah, I agree with the Amphioxus. Without the humidity, they just don't look as nice and they don't grow as well. And they get really hard if you don't give them that humidity.
Do you think they like low light, medium, high light?
I think they're a mid to low light, in my opinion.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Whenever I put them under my Haworthia lights, they burned. But if I put them under my tropical low light stuff, they didn't do as well. But whenever I had them under my Gisneria lights, they did just fine.
I like your classification. So Gisneria is medium?
Kinda.
Or is Gisneria lower than tropical?
It's the low watt Barinas.
So is that lower than tropical?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I have them in my cabinet. I want to get bigger leaves. I'm not sure I actually can to a point, but I was wondering if I should give them a little bit more light. But in my cabinet, it's middle of the cabinet is the highest light. Far side of the cabinet is low light. So I've been moving him from the far side of the cabinet a little closer to the middle and see what happens.
Sure. I think your colors are a little washed out and you're getting smaller growth. That's too much light. I can't really tell because I don't grow that one often.
Yeah. I will have to evaluate next time I'm in there. I could just look in the window right now, but I'm not.
I know some people struggle with that. They see things putting out small growth and this needs more light. No, it's putting out small growth because it's getting too much light.
Yep. Depends on the plant.
Yep.
I experienced that with Regal Shield outside, which I thought just blew my mind. I was you should like a lot of light. You're an alocasia.
Yeah.
Nope. Maybe that's why he does so well in the summers indoors. It's because he's in a south window, but he's not outside. Mm. Anyway, he gets beat the fuck up if he's outside, so he doesn't get to go outside.
Sure.
Because then he gets ugly. Alocasia.
Yeah. Infernalis.
That is a hard one. What's the Infernalis, and there's the other one. Is the Infernalis the all black one?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Nebula.
Rain one. Nebula, that's the one.
Yep. Nebula, I don't want to put on the expert level list until I try again.
When you know more?
I just failed at rooting it, yeah. Nebula just could not get that thing to root. It kept growing leaves, but just no roots on me. And then eventually the corm rotted, and I was just like, wow.
Can't do that, bro.
It was getting high humidity. It was getting high light. It went from soil to moss to, it ended in moss.
You said you were putting it in highlight and you wasn't rooting? Try lower light next time. I've noticed sometimes that is a weird thing.
But for such a dark leafed one?
It's surprising. Some plants, when you propagate them, you give them less light, they propagate a lot easier.
Sure.
I wonder if it's just like a better balance for them.
Yeah, maybe.
Like instead of going high speed, the high light.
Well, and I suppose part of it is, you know, I guess part of the science you could think of is less light, meaning less energy focused on photosynthesizing and more energy focused on roots.
Yeah, because I think the general theory is if you're putting a cutting in like low light and it's doing really well, it's because it's like, hey, these are imperfect conditions. I need to get ready to put out a lot of growth really fast. So they're going to root to support the new growth.
Yeah. And I'd probably consider heat mat for that one too.
Yeah.
Next time. Even though, I mean, it was in a warm cabinet, just needed more heat at the root. Tiny Dancer. You just have to be prepared to be constantly battling.
Yes, it's going to always have spider mites, in my experience. I was able to grow it very successfully in Lekka in a south window. He likes a lot of light, gets spider mites all the time.
Yeah.
That was usually the reason I got spider mites, is because of that little dude.
Right. And I guess in that same breath, then Stingray?
Stingray is easy.
But I would always have spider mites on my Stingray.
Stingray, I can grow in room temperature, high light, no issues whatsoever. Okay. He's amazing.
All right, we won't put that on the list.
Sabrina, I've struggled with. Tandarusa, I've struggled with.
Tandarusa, I have struggled.
So I'm wondering with that one, if we grow from a corm in the conditions it's going to live in.
Yeah.
If we could grow a better plant.
I've tried it.
You have?
Mm-hmm. I feel like because of the texture of that leaf, that one would need higher humidity.
And so mine's getting it. And it will put out, I am down to just one little like 4-inch pot of one.
Weird.
And it will put out like a leaf.
So I don't mess with alocasias.
And I'm like, okay, are you growing? And then it's just like, nah.
Before I split it up, Christine, because Christine and I split the cost of the plant and I grew the four babies out for a little bit before giving hers to her. Before I split it up, it was living in the south window, putting out big leaves. I think it only put out one or two big leaves after that in my tent after it got split. But right now, the stupid plant, it lost all its leaves and then put out an inflorescence. There are two babies in the pot.
Okay.
So I'm hoping the two babies grow up and I can get them to be plants.
Sure.
Because that'll be like starting over.
Is that sitting on the ground?
Yes.
Take it off the ground. It's getting too cold, I think.
Mm.
I have a carpet between the cement and the tent.
Might need more insulation. Because alocasias, they're tropical. They're going to like a warmer soil. If you have it in a basement, on the floor, even on a carpet, it might just be the root zone's getting too cold.
Interesting.
In that same breath, my Freydeck is struggling for me, too.
Freydeck or green velvet?
Freydeck.
Okay. Yeah, I got rid of my Freydeck because no matter what I did, it was never happy.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, I gave it high humidity, and it did great for a while. It grew well, and then it would just... stutter.
Freydeck is a hard one for me. It wants a fuck ton of light. It wants more light than a ficus.
And it's getting...
That's it.
But mine's getting light. It's getting humidity. It's getting good water. And I can never get past two leaves.
Are you fertilizing it? That'd be the next step.
Fertilizing it.
Is it pH balanced?
No.
Do
try
that. Is it in Lekka or soil? Okay. One thing I recently learned about pH balancing is it's a little less important with soil, at least in the cannabis world. Yeah. Like they pH theirs differently than if you're doing hydroponics.
Because
right now, I do a lot of pHing to hydroponic level, which is between 5.5 and 6.5. But I was talking to someone in the Discord. They said that for soil, it's actually a higher range that you aim for.
Mm.
So maybe look into that.
More basic? Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So that, okay, cool.
Especially if you're using like peat or something, that would also adjust it down. So if you're already on the low end of low, I could see it affecting things.
Sure.
But Christine doesn't use peat.
I don't use peat, no. But my water sits at a more basic level. So that might explain why my soil plants tend to do more successfully without any pH balance.
Yeah, for my alocasia, I do. Oh, and you know, all the alocasia in the basement that aren't doing so hot aren't getting pH balanced water. Not saying that's the secret there, but
definitely something to think of.
Oh, that's so stupid, Kaylin. Why are you like this? Frydeck, it was a game changer when I put him in the south window. He was in soil and getting pH balanced fertilizer, water every single time I watered him. Did amazing. I had huge leaves. I love the contrast on the leaves on the green velvet. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But it was a lot of light, and that was what I wasn't giving him for him to thrive.
Sure.
So you could try those things. But oh, when that one goes well, it's so satisfying.
Right. Trying to think of any other alocasias.
Jacqueline, the only reason I think that it might be getting too cold is because if it was up here and it was doing fine, and you move it to your tent and it's not doing fine, that's the only variable I can
think of. I thought the humidity was more important. But yeah, I can move him.
Well, if you have high humidity and low temperatures, that's asking for fungus and problems.
Sure.
So I would need warmer temps.
Yeah.
Jen, I need Dave to come put the duct in for my grow tent. I'm telling you this now because I'm going to forget about it.
No.
Go to your room.
Licking my feet.
Spicy's got a foot fetish. Spicy, go to your room. Come on.
Brief pause.
Spicy, come on.
Girl.
Good baby.
I haven't had, I'm trying to.
I've got a couple succulent advanced ones now that I'm thinking.
Yeah, I want to hear those.
Lithops and Conophytum. People will argue that lithops are easy, but finding someone who's properly growing them and keeping their natural form is really rare.
Yep. And then, you know, specifically knowing when to water and when to not.
Yep.
Yeah.
There is a lady in Ireland, of all places, who has a really impressive lithop collection.
Do you know her name?
No, but I watched like an hour long YouTube video of, because I was Googling when do you water lithops, and like that video came up and it was like an hour long of her showing off her collection and being like, I water these once every 2 years.
I was going to say, wow. For me and lithops, our relationship is I water them after they flower because that's when they need it.
Yep.
And then if they're splitting, I do not water it.
Yeah.
They're going to look like hell and they're going to look like they're really dehydrated when they're splitting. But what they're doing is they're just taking the water out of the old leaves and putting it in the new leaves. And there's going to be a point where they both look weak.
Yeah.
And if you water it, then it'll plump up both sets of leaves and you'll have what, then it'll start to stack.
Mm.
And that's not aesthetically pleasing to me. Mm. And the other one are Conophytums. They have a similar growth pattern as lithops, but they have a dormancy where they dry up and look dead.
Oh,
and a lot of people throw them away then.
Mm.
So that's the same thing. Both of them is they do have a dormancy period that is flip-flopped because they're Southern Hemisphere.
Oh yeah.
And if you water them in the dormancy period, high chance of rot. If you have them in any kind of like peat or stuff like that, I've noticed a lot of people can't control the water well enough. You need basically a full mineral or a mostly mineral mix.
Sure.
Because they need a lot of oxygen or a lot of air around the roots.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't have the light for them, but I would want to try lithops again.
They're fun. I'm growing out a purple Sato at the moment. They're literally purple lithops.
Yeah.
Purple butts.
Cool. Because I had one and then I eventually took it to my old job where there was a giant southern window and that's when it finally started to like split and like dry off. And I'm like, oh my God, it's finally growing.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten a pot with three in it and one of them died right away. And then the other two were good. And it was so funny because I ended up killing it eventually because I just didn't water it when it was supposed to get watered.
Mm.
And I was like, how interesting.
Yeah, I know a lot of like, especially local people who are starting to get into lithops, I always tell them, do not go out and buy a lithops plant. Mm-hmm. Buy seed and start them from seed, because what happens is they grow these lithops down south and they're high light, and then they ship them up here, and no matter how much light you give them, they're not used enough to that low amount of light, and they just slowly fail.
Maybe if I do one again, I'm going to like put it 2 inches under
the light. Yeah, that's the other thing is people always pot them up too high, and so they have like,
oh, sure,
a platform above it. They should be nearly flat with the surface.
Sure. Yeah, because they grow like rocks, so they should be on the...
They actually have... The tops of the leaves are windows just like Haworthia.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's so weird because they don't look see-through.
Nope, but a lot of light gets into them and all the photosynthesis happens in the chunky parts.
Hmm.
That's cool. I didn't know that. Any cactus that are expert level?
All.
Lophophora are the big one because they're a soft skin one. They're susceptible to spider mites, unlike most cacti. Oh. They rot real easy and they're just delicate, in my opinion, until you get them established. And it can take a while to establish them.
Mm-hmm.
You're better. That's another one you're better off growing from seed if you can obtain it. And if you're obtaining it, you've done it illegally.
Yeah. My book, I would put most cacti just because you have to have patience for those because they don't, you know, they don't grow fast long. Like, I have a ex-coworker that's got a saguaro that's like 30 years old and it's like 4 foot tall.
Yeah. My oldest saguaro was, I think, 3 years old and it was like 4 inches.
Yep. So you just have to really have slow patience.
Mackie, should I repot my Trichocereus monstros this year?
I doubt it.
Oh, really?
I love to neglect cacti.
Sure. I mean, I'm totally fine because he's in a beautiful pot by Amano.
Just embrace the Tom in you and just don't repot it.
It's going to kill me.
Cacti, like, they grow in very low nutrient
situations.
So, like, dead soil is, like, heaven to them pretty much.
Well, I'm still not actually having to water that often. I'm watering a little bit more than I used to, but, like.
Well, the cool thing about cacti is whenever they kind of go dormant for the winter, their feeder roots tend to die back and you just get the tap roots, the thick.
So they're cutting their own roots for themselves?
Yeah. So like that's why a lot of people, when they start watering, if they water a little too early, that's where the rot comes from is they don't have the feeder roots to take up the water just yet.
I am not participating in any cactus dormancy with that guy. I just water him when he gets a little shrivelly.
That's the thing about cacti. I always tell people, again, if you're going to do cacti, it's better, especially up here in Minnesota, do them from seed.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're getting cacti, majority of them are either grown in greenhouse conditions or under super high light. Cacti and cycadens react really slowly to environmental changes. So you can get a cacti from Arizona and it will stay the same for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And then it'll send out etiolated growth, even if you have it in full sun. Because no matter what, how much light you're giving it, if it's just natural sunlight up here, it's not as much as it's getting down south.
What I was used to, yeah.
So I noticed in the cacti that I've brought from other places, they will send out the etiolated growth, and then they'll kind of adjust like, okay, so this is the new light, and then they'll send out that big fleshy growth that's more adapted to our light.
Yeah.
But at that point, you have an ugly cactus, and I usually chop it up at that point.
Sure.
Ugly cactus.
So like whenever you're ever looking for like cacti and succulents, stay local.
Right.
How would you know, though, if they're grown locally?
Find a hobbyist. Don't go through a store.
What's his name? Fractal Cactus. Scott.
Does he grow from seed?
He goes to Arizona once or twice a year and gets a bunch of stuff. And he has a really nice collection.
But you don't want
to
buy them from Arizona.
No, but he brings them back and does the thing. He's not like taking the plants that he bought from Arizona and immediately selling them.
He's doing the acclimation.
He's bringing them into his collection, propagating them, and then regrowing and selling them.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where if I get cacti, I actually will hot nail them.
Mm.
And just get them to pup immediately and I'll throw the main body away because that's a lost cause for me to keep it aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were so anal retentive about your cacti.
Look, the only reason I like cacti is because the architecture of them.
Yeah.
Take that away, then you just have an ouch plant. And I'm guaranteed to get injured with that.
Sure.
I got some prickly pear spines in my skin today at work.
Nice.
Spines are glaucids.
Sorry, glaucids.
There is a difference. The glaucids are the soft, fuzzy things that you don't touch because they're just misery. The spines are, well, they're also misery if they get in you.
More like toothpicks for spines.
Yeah. Glaucids, you're going to need like plaster or tape or tweezers to get them out. Spines, you can probably just grab them and pull them.
Gotcha. I did the credit card thing where you slide a credit card across.
Down in Texas, they would just wrap us in duct tape and cut it off.
Cut it off or like rip it off?
Rip it off, cut it off. Depends on what you're doing with it.
Because if you put the duct tape on you and then you cut it off, in my brain, the duct tape is still on you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Do we have any philodendron that are hard? Ooh. Warsawixia aureum.
Yes.
And maybe Warsawixia period, because those are tree form. They're thin-leaved and they're whiny bitches.
And they need that high humidity.
Yeah, because of the thin leaves.
Yep.
If we're in that realm, I would say Melanochrysum.
Melanochrysum.
There we go.
Melanochrysum.
Melanochrysum.
I also think the...
anything with those velvet leaves.
I was going to say, what are the ones Jen's really into? The starts with,
Splendid?
Yeah.
Mm.
Those ones I find difficult because the... Anything with textured leaves in the aroid family, I find like the fuzzy leaves.
The Brantianum.
You think that's hard?
I do.
Just because it's so stringy looking or... I've never grown one, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah, you get it, and you're like, I can figure this out. No, you can't.
Yeah.
Skindapsis.
Yes.
just because they're slow to root. If you don't give them the right conditions to grow, like if you are one of those people who struggles to grow them really well, that's just, yeah, advanced right there.
They just get so stringy so fast.
Yeah, because if they're not supported, they don't put out leaves.
I had an exotica that looked really great and it was growing up. And then I was like, I'm going to cut it and do something else. And then it just never looked good again.
Yeah.
But yeah, the growing up, I think, is necessary with those. Oh, I'd love to have a big
the Rhapidophora hayeyes and dubias.
Mine wasn't necessarily.
It's not in the philodendron category, though.
I guess aeroids.
Syndapsis is another.
But my hayeyes wasn't bad.
I was just, again, I struggle with them needing to climb to have leaves.
Yeah. Or attached to have nice looking leaves.
Yeah.
Admedrium zipollinium was a pain in the ass. That's one where I would actually, if I was going to do it again, I would get a moss pole and I would keep the damn thing wet.
Yeah.
Because and I had like the stick and I had clips clipping it to the stick. But if I missed one day of not clipping the new growth to the stake, it would do a runner.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I had like this long ass runner that just wouldn't produce leaves. But if I was able to like clip it every so many days, it would give me a leaf and it would give me a really nice leaf. And then it would get angry at me for not attaching it. So like, I would do a moss pole, let it attach itself, keep it moist, but also I'm just not in the mood to grow that whiny bitch again.
Right.
I would also argue that some plants that are considered easy when grown certain ways do make them a bit more advanced. Like whenever you attach them to planks and moss poles, like even pothos, I find kind of, I would feel that would, if you're trying to get the goal of the big fenestrated leaves,
yeah,
I think that's a more advanced thing you're doing with them rather than just growing a golden pothos in a pot.
Yeah, I think, pushing things to their limits for sure.
Because there's growing things and then there's getting things to mature, I feel. Like there's a lot a lot of plants you can keep pretty stable, but a lot of them will not mature if you don't do the right stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Christine already said anthuriums.
Yeah, in my book, all anthuriums.
Well, and some are going to be worse than others. And
these are the velvet, not the like painter's palette stuff.
Yeah.
My crystallinum is finally bouncing back from losing all those leaves while I was gone.
That's good.
Yeah, he put out a new leaf. Oh, what's annoying to me about those, and it's probably just my OCD, when the leaves are growing and hardening off, they're so susceptible to any kind of damage.
Oh, sure.
If you touch them or even just look at them sideways, they're going to have like an imperfection. And so it is just so hard to get nice leaves on those things.
Yeah.
And like my tent is not a safe space. Things touch, things get bumped, things get moved. There's a giant fan in there blowing tons of air around.
Right.
Which is overkill, but whatever.
Back when I was doing all the...
I just can't get perfect leaves.
Right.
Yeah, back when I was doing all the anthuriums from seed, I was actually loving the fact that they were so susceptible to damage, because what I would do is I had them spread out all through my collection, and if I saw a damaged leaf on one of my seedlings, it was usually from thrips. So I used them as like a canary in the coal mine situation.
That's like my Calathea. I would throw them around, and once they started curling, that's how I knew it was time to water.
Yep. That's what Noah does with his little plant collection. When his pothos is wilting, he waters everything, including his cacti. And they've been going for years.
Nice. Nice.
He even got a mosaic of flower with that schedule. Yeah, I saw that.
It was cute. Little cutie. Okay, what other genus?
Hoya.
I would agree
some
with
Hoyas.
The Archboldiana, the Erythema ones, the ones that they can't get to flower even in Florida. I feel those ones would be advanced because you can't get them to trigger to bloom half the time.
Undulata is one that I haven't had one yet, so I can't speak on it, but everyone in the groups that I know, I have seen people just lament on how hard it is. Likes to rot before it roots.
The Hushkliana too.
Really?
That one I struggle with because I don't like to do a humidity thing with them.
Sure.
And without the humidity, they don't grow well.
No.
Is that my problem?
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, it'll put out a stem, it'll put out two little leaves, and leaves will grow well for a day or two, and then they just fall off.
Mm.
And that's lack of humidity.
While
for me.
We're on this topic, I have room. I could put him in the cabinet with serpens.
Put it on a trellis.
I want to keep him in pond or move him?
Mm-hmm.
Should I put him in soil?
I've only ever had mine in Leica.
As if you put them in soil, put it on a wick, because that's one that appreciates the constant moisture, isn't it?
It definitely likes being in water. It definitely likes being in humidity. It definitely likes light.
Because I'm just, especially the pond that he's in, I think it's the too small of stuff, but I don't know that I want to outpot him because Hoyas don't mind being small.
Right.
But I cannot fit one of those circle trellises in his current pot. Drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe I repot him. That's a task for another day. Because my other thought was just cut him up, sell him, take the cuttings, make a new pot.
Sure.
And just start over.
They
start
so
over
fast.
With my 15 cuttings. I'd we're be, like, human, that's going to be massive. It's not massive.
Remember mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's
three cuttings.
That's four nodes.
Yeah. But I'm saying mine never took off.
I know, but.
So
maybe, if you start it over in LECA and you're going to put it in a cabinet with humidity and water or in light.
15 nodes.
Four nodes.
I got some more plants to add.
Oh, sure.
These are sold as house plants and they really don't make good house plants.
Croton.
But even in, no, not croton. No, in the carnivorous plant world, there are Venus flytraps and Sarracenia.
Is that the pitcher? What's in a Sarracenia?
They're the American pitcher plants.
Okay.
They need a dormancy period, which is really hard for me to do. And then Venus flytraps, there's a way to get around the dormancy period, but it requires like weekly feedings. Like you're literally feeding bugs to your plant.
Ick.
Yeah. Like the just energy requirements to like.
It's just a lot.
That and just how picky they are about everything. They need like low TDS water. They need high light. Like a lot of times when you grow them, I was growing mine under like T5s.
Oh, sure.
And that was crazy.
Crazy. Amount of light
for them. I think I couldn't use that particular fixture on any of my other plants until two of the light things and it burned out. And then it was like finally low enough light to grow other stuff under. I'm trying to think, there was another thing I was thinking of I can't think of now.
Is there a genus we're missing? Monsteras?
Are there tricky monsteras? I haven't grown actually that many monsteras, right. So either. I can't.
Oh, that's what it is. Monstera dubia is the one I was thinking of.
Peru.
Silta pecana. Yeah. I don't like that one at all.
Peru's tough.
Yeah.
That was a hard one for me.
Obliqua. It's just a finicky humidity queen in my mind.
Yeah.
And if you don't support that one, it just runs.
Yeah. Did you say silta pecana or did you mean standaliana?
Silta pecana, okay. I think, is the silverleaf one.
Mm-hmm. Silta pecana was easy for me. Standaliana.
Standaliana was hard for me.
I had no problem with standaliana. I just had to give it a lot of support.
Yes. Yeah, same with Peru.
And I think the big drawback of that one was it just kept wanting to go green on me.
Sure.
And then I got tired of cutting it back because it was literally like it would put out two variegated leaves and it had a chunk where I had to cut it and send out a new one, another chunk. And it was just annoying.
Yeah.
Any plant that's variegated is going to go up a level in my brain. So like if it's a beginner and it's variegated, then it's probably going to be an intermediate. If it's an intermediate and then you get a variegated version, it's going to be an advanced just because of the light requirements having to play around with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just variegation changes how things grow.
It's weird you say that because in the Hoya world right now, the hot topic is the theory that variegation is allowing plants to grow more successfully or easier.
What's the theory behind that?
There's... can't give you an exact species, but you know, we were talking about Sluiciana last time and how they are really hard to root. Some folks are saying that their variegated ones are growing faster and are more established quicker. And they think, I wonder if, I know it's lack of chlorophyll, but if it's something that it's allowing it to take light in more.
Maybe it's the plant trying to compensate for the variegation.
Sure.
And maybe it's just growing faster to get more established quicker because it knows it's weaker.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe the people prioritize the light for that guy because it's a fancier plant. So they put him in a higher light situation. So it gets more light.
That
it's Polyneura. That's the one everyone's talking about. How Polyneura, the variegated Polyneura is because people say Polyneura is a slow grower and I've never had that experience. But the variegated ones grow faster.
So why are they still so expensive? Get that price down.
Yeah. Because my elbow marginata, outer variegated ones I've had for 3 weeks now, maybe a little longer, but they're already growing new leaves.
I mean, that's about how fast my green would grow, but I kept my green Polyneura in a south window and people would get on me all the time about that. That's too much light. Like, no, it's growing like a weed.
Yeah, if you can make it happy. I mean, I would be in that camp of that's too much light for it, but if yours is fine, I mean, go for it.
I think Kayla might be on to something because I know people, especially with variegated stuff being so much more expensive sometimes, people will put more into their care, whether it's conscious or not.
Yeah, that's
that
fair.
Could be it too.
Yeah,
it always comes down to light, people. Always comes down to fucking light.
Sweet.
All right, we got any more buddies? All right, like there's so many plants that we just don't grow that I can't even think about right now. So like I feel like
pipers. I think most pipers could technically be on that list. I'm thinking about so tough.
Yeah, terrarium plants. Yeah.
The Gepertia.
Gepertia.
The one that was supposed to be the next it plant with all the black leaves that are saucers.
That thing.
Nobody could fucking grow that thing.
Oh, the. Besides Simone. Not Cilianthus. The.
Oh.
I don't know.
I know which one you're talking about.
I looked it up.
The Costa Crap one.
Yeah.
I looked it up because I couldn't think of the name in one episode, and then I never actually looked up the name of the plant in that episode, so now I'm going to look it up. It's not Gepertia.
I want to say it's like Geognathus or something crazy like that.
Ciliatus. Ciliatus, and it's beautiful. This the first picture that pops up is a dying one with like a bunch of crispy leaves. That's accurate. Yeah, Geognathus. Yeah.
Costa farm plants. I can't say what I want to say about them because I can't encourage the behavior I want to encourage.
Don't buy from Costa Farms if you love your LGBT friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the one company I'm okay with people stealing from.
Any ficus?
Don't steal plants.
Steal plants.
Yeah. Side note. Any ficus hard to grow?
Audrey. I always struggle with Audrey.
People have problems with Benjamina, don't they?
Well, Benjaminas are just divas because if you change their light, they drop all their leaves and they have
to readjust. Don't people think, don't triangularis?
Oh, yeah. Some people have trouble with those. I never grew one because I didn't want to bother with the heartache, you know?
Right.
I like my elasticas.
Yeah. Oh, the Syndapsis trubii moonlight was never a fan in my house.
That was the Syndapsis.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you guys were talking about like the regular Syndapsis, like the Exotica.
Well, I find all Syndapsis to be.
Yeah.
Like,
Exotica wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, last call for any more plants that are hard.
I think we got a good chunk
said enough stuff that people are going to be Googling.
Right, if you guys aren't familiar with all the plants we just listed, I'm sorry, we're such fucking nerds.
Have fun pausing every 2 seconds to look something up.
I was going
to
say, we only used common ones, didn't we?
We had some scientific names in there. Anything you said was scientific. Because I don't know some of those.
Whoops.
No. It's fine.
It's fine.
That's what we should be doing.
Our listeners are learning.
Yeah, good luck spelling that.
I just get so bored with the common stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Cheese plant.
I love me a good pothos. Don't get me wrong. They're fun to grow, but after a while they get kind of boring. And it's like you just want something new. And like that's, I think, how the rare plant stuff started. But right. It's like.
It was because people wanted more pothos.
They
that
wanted
are new?
Yeah, something they just want different. The new hot thing and whatever's uncommon and
the
rare.
New it girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love my plant collection as it is, and I don't give a fuck about new plants anymore. Also, who wants to quarantine shit? I don't. Nobody new is coming in. Everyone's just leaving slowly.
Yeah.
Okay, plant of the week. I picked one out, but I think I did it fairly recently.
I got one.
Go for it.
My Florida Beauty.
Ooh.
Is that from Christine?
Yeah. My $15 Florida Beauty, that's just stunning. I love the variegation on it.
Love it.
I put it under my lights and all the leaves immediately curled up and started screaming. It was too much. And I was like, okay, moving you to the bottom shelf then.
That's weird because it was getting decent light. I mean,
Under my Huarthia lights.
Sure.
My Conifidum lights. So they were really high powered.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of my Philodendron Tortum. I took a top cut because he was getting ugly and he just put out a really nice new big leaf. And I would like to say that Tortum is one that sized up so damn quickly for me. And I know you remember seeing it.
Did that lady at the swap come talk to you about Tortum?
She asked me if I had any there.
Oh.
And I was like, I have a note at home, but I don't have a plant for you. And then she didn't want my contact information.
That reminds me of a challenging philodendron, the polypoides. Yeah, that one.
Which one's that?
It's the one that looks like a tortum, but it's skinnier. And it needs way more humidity. Even at LITF, we struggled with it.
Sure.
I had to leave that up to Forrest because she was the one who had that one down.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. Polypoides. I don't know. Christine.
Yeah.
On the spot. Spotlight's on you.
You had 2 weeks to think about this.
Did I? Okay. I just did chores too.
You could talk about my tortum some more. You have to come look at
your tortum is like gorgeous.
Yeah.
I was always surprised at how fast it grew.
I know. This is what I was trying to bring up 2 seconds ago. Because like you see a lot of people with the small tortums. Okay. Like they'll have like the little leaves and just like a big vine. And I'm like, how come yours isn't sizing up? People aren't giving enough light.
Yeah.
I'm blasting it with light. And you guys, it's huge and it grows so fast. So do that.
So I got a Hoya from Catherine a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be such a like giant giant leaf Hoya person. I still am, but I got this Parviflora from her. It's so stinking cute. It's these like really, and it's such interesting leaves. They're like super dark black, but they have splash on them leaves. Ooh. That are like spade shaped or like super long, like sharp, almost like spade or string of arrows.
Like Curtisii, but bigger and longer, skinnier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you looking at a picture on your phone?
Yeah. Or if you just Google Hoya parviflora.
Parviflora?
Parviflora.
Parviflora. I got my dog vaccinated for parvo.
It's weird though, because the pictures that you'll find, the leaves are
like sigillatas.
Right. But my leaves are tiny. They're super small and super sharp and pointy. It's so cool.
I like how like daggery they are.
Yeah.
Very cool. That is a cool one.
Yeah.
You have to now post pictures in the Discord. So I really have to show us what it looks like.
It's doing really well.
Cool. Well, congrats all you plants of the week. I'm going to go move my Huscaliana variegata to the cabinet immediately after recording so I don't forget. And, ooh, this is a cool trellis. Looks like a hot air balloon.
Oh, that's cool.
Give a Hoya parviflora a Google and scroll down to find the trellis that makes it look like a hot air balloon. To see what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Okay, everybody. It's been fun. Stay rough.
Bye.
Bye-bye.